¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HRMP guest line, being joined by the wizard of the NFL, Howard Balzer, Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, Sirius XM NFL radio host as well. Howard, thanks for taking a few minutes with the Killer Bees this afternoon. What were some of the biggest takeaways of Black Monday? Now, the Texans did theirs late Sunday night, but we'll go ahead and include it. What were some thoughts you had of a bunch of NFL teams moving on from their current head coaches?
Yeah, I mean, there really haven't been that many, and that's one thing. You always wonder, are there going to be some that everyone's been discussing that happen, some that don't, obviously? Will there be some surprises? And certainly you never know what might happen in the coming days, but kind of a quiet day, really. And of course, where I am in Phoenix was very busy with the firing of Cliff Kingsbury, which wasn't a surprise necessarily, but it always amazes me. And the Cardinals and the Bidwell ownership, which goes back, by the way, well, the franchise has been around 103 seasons, and the Bidwells have owned it since 1933. And their pattern has been have a coach, have them improve, and it hasn't happened that many times where that has happened. But when it has, they improve, show good things, and then take a step back. Oh, time to move on. Let's get somebody else in here. And I wrote something about it yesterday where they did it with Don Coryell, they did it with Jim Hanifin, they did it with Ken Whisenhunt, and now they've done it with Cliff Kingsbury, who had the team on a right path, had a lot of bad stuff happen at the end of last season and this season with just a ridiculous... I know a lot of people say, don't talk about injuries. Those are excuses. No, they're explanations. And when you have 15 backups starting in games over the second half of the season, that's a number that when you say all teams have injuries, I don't think there's any other team that had that many. And so, but they decided to move on. And they've never had a coach in their history, guys. Never in their history have a coach last longer than 6 years. So, you know, those are the things that kind of jumped out. And sometimes I think these owners just love the being on the stage and having that adrenaline rush of interviewing all these guys and let's hire a new coach and I'm in control and all that. I don't know how much that really is a part of it, but sometimes I get that sense that they enjoy that part of it. But, you know, we'll see. But we'll see if any more happen. And of course, with the Texans, I mean, I'm sure you've said it. Everybody's been saying it. Whatever job you think that David Culley and Lovie Smith did, you're not going to go anywhere as a franchise if you keep firing coaches after 1 year and then afterwards say, oh, we love what they brought to the organization. We love their leadership. We love all the positives they brought. But you're not getting more than 1 year to try to help turn this around. So that just always rubs me the wrong way.
Well, Howard, that's where I was going next, because we've had an owner here in Cal McNair that's been the opposite. They haven't loved the stage. They've been kind of hiding either on their office on a bearskin rug playing video games, if you believe backup quarterbacks stories of the past, or just hiding somewhere where they didn't have to be public. Now, all of a sudden, as of yesterday, we have a hands-on owner in Cal McNair that says, I am going to be deeply involved in this process. We are going to be as transparent as we possibly can be. Me and the general manager, that's who's going to make this. That's what we're going to do. We're going to be more involved. When you look at it from afar, or you hear about these things being where you are as opposed to right on top of it like we are, the Texans we know for 2.5-3 years have been the laughing stock of the league. Does this suddenly change things based on what you said about Lovie and Culley, and all of a sudden now they're going to get right in a hurry? They're going to do this one the right way. Does anybody see this any differently than the Texans of the last 2.5-3 years?
No, I don't think many do. And let me clarify, when I say being on the stage, I don't necessarily mean like Jerry Jones being in front of the cameras all the time, but I meant being even behind the scenes, being that guy that's pulling the strings and interviewing people and being in control of those things. I think that's where I was getting at. But to your last question, I say, well, what does getting it right mean? First of all, to me, you don't know if you've gotten it right most of the time for 2, 3, maybe 4 years. I mean, you have to give time for these things to play out. And so I think that it's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot when you're hiring coaches. And whether you're hiring someone who's proven, I mean, heck, I go back many years. Steve Mariucci wasn't a great, great coach, but he did a pretty good job with the 49ers. And when he got fired by them, Matt Millen, who was then the general manager of the Lions, said, "Oh, I got an experienced guy there." And he knew Mariucci and he hired him and it didn't work. So it's a crapshoot in this league because I think a lot of times guys, most people just don't realize how they should, but they don't realize how hard it is to win. I think it's easy to win, and it's not. And a lot of things have to go right, whether it's in personnel, whether it's the players. Obviously, the players is doing the right thing on most of the time with 11 guys on the field. And so, like I said, it's a crapshoot, and everyone thinks they're hiring the right guy when they hire him. And then when it doesn't work very quickly, it doesn't mean you have the wrong person, unless you've seen things behind closed doors that show, oh, this guy's not in control of the team, or this or that, or he just doesn't seem up to it. But I don't think that's the case most of the time. I think, Michael Bidwell said it yesterday, the Cardinals, he just said, we felt it was time for a change. Yeah, there was a lot of injuries. Yes, we had a lot of bad breaks, but it was just time for a change. Well, what does that mean? It was time for a change. Well, at least Kingsbury got 4 years. But when you have one, you don't have any real time to put your program in, get the players you like, and help be part of building a roster. And the other part is every time a new coach comes in, it's a new scheme, new offense, new defense. Players have to learn something different. And that just sets you back in that because you can't just keep changing everything year after year, especially in a sport where you have pretty much a brief off season, brief training camp, and boom, you're playing games. And if you get off to a bad start, it's tough to rebound from that. So continuity is to me the most important thing. And if you don't give guys a chance to have it, that then you're not going to have continued and sustained success.
Howard Rooney, the wizard of the NFL, joining us on the HRP guest line. That said, Howard, because I think you're speaking a lot of truth there. Do you have a favorite target of this year's coaching carousel? What are some names that you like that Arizona, Houston, Carolina, Denver could certainly use?
I'm glad you asked that because I've talked about this for years. And what ends up happening, we all hear the same names. And there's new names that come in each year. Like all of a sudden, Shane Steichen, he's the offensive coordinator of the Eagles. Now he's a new name on the list, like Nick Sirianni was when the Eagles hired him away from Indianapolis. You get some new core, but now you're hearing names like Ken Dorsey, who's been a coordinator for 1 year with Buffalo, Mike Kafka. These owners should look at overall what makes a good head coach. And it doesn't have to be a coordinator. And, John Harbaugh with the Ravens all these years, he hadn't been a coordinator when he was hired. Andy Reid, you go back a lot of years, he hadn't been a coordinator when he was hired by the Eagles. Dan Campbell with the Lions hadn't been a coordinator. But all these owners fall into the same boring trap. Oh, who are the hot coordinators? We'll hire from there. And maybe you hit, but a lot of times you don't, because just because you're a good coordinator doesn't mean you're going to be a good head coach. And so I think those are the types of guys. There's a guy, Dave Taub, who's a special teams coach. I believe he's still in Kansas City. I think a lot of teams should look at special teams coaches. Look at the job Rich Bisaccia did in Las Vegas last year when he took over for John Gruden. A lot of people think he should have kept the job. Special teams coaches are guys who have coached the whole roster, but they don't even get a sniff. Dave Taub in Kansas City is a guy that was interviewed several years in a row. He also would have been at the Bears, and I don't believe he's been in that process. All of a sudden, he's fallen off because I think owners are afraid. They're afraid if they think outside the box, if it doesn't work, then they're really going to get criticized. At least if it doesn't work with a coordinator, they say, well, we hired the hot coordinator. But if it doesn't work with a guy like that, then all of a sudden that everyone's really, really questioning their sanity. But I think more guys like that should be looked at as a head coach. Let them be the head coach of the whole team and just hire great assistants for, to coach the defense, coach the offense, to coordinate, and obviously all the other assistants. And owners just don't do it. So we'll read all the names. Some of the ones I just mentioned, we'll probably hear Eric Bieniemy, again. But I think what happens too, guys, is a guy like Eric Bieniemy, he's in a great situation with the Kansas City Chiefs coaching Patrick Mahomes, and everyone says, well, why hasn't he been hired? I think sometimes Bieniemy's looking, he knows that he has to get the right fit, right? If you're getting your first shot at this, it might be, and most of the time is your only shot. And if you go to a place that A, doesn't have a quarterback, or you don't think has the right people in place to get you the players that you need, and you know that if you don't get off to a great start, you're going to probably be done in 2 years, why are you going to pick teams that have consistently struggled? And I think that's what owners have to look at also in terms of trying to maintain some continuity with the guys they hired and give them a real chance to have some success.
Howard, not that you have to rank them all, but the last go round, the Texans were at the probably rock bottom of everybody's wish list in terms of if I'm aspiring to be head coach and I look at all the jobs out there, the Texans were the worst job out there. I think this year maybe there's a little bit more of an open-mindedness to, with the draft picks they have, with the cap freedom that they're going to have going forward, that this is a more attractive job than maybe a year ago. Do you think that way?
It could be. You know, it could be. But a lot of it could be, like you said, you have the high draft picks, and now you have an opportunity to get one of the top quarterbacks. And that becomes key. What does Nick Caserio think of Davis Mills? What will coaches coming in that will interview for this job think of him? Do they believe that he can continue to develop and be a winning quarterback? If not, then you better hit in that draft. You better hit. But we know there's no guarantees there either. And so that's a big, I mean, look where the Jets are going through. I mean, heck, Robert Saleh is probably a pretty good head coach. They had an excellent defense, but they don't have a quarterback. And if you don't have that, then doesn't matter how good a coach you are, most likely you're not going to have success. So that becomes the biggest thing that the Texans as a franchise have to figure out what the best move is going forward. And if it is to bring in a high-ranked quarterback, like I said, you better get it right. And not only get it right in terms of the guy, but get it right with the players you put around him. Because mm-hmm. if you don't have the players around him, you're not going to be successful either.
Probably the coach, too. Howard, thanks so much for taking a few minutes. Great stuff as always. Enjoy the wild card round of the NFL playoffs.
It's super wild card weekend, right?
Yeah, I guess technically you're right, but I'm not falling for the NFL's trap, Howard.
No, I don't either. The funny thing about it is, why do they even call it wild card weekend when half the teams are division winners?
Yeah. Good point.
I mean you're highlighting the teams that didn't win their divisions. They always say how important it is to win your division, and then the teams that get in with like 9 wins or something like that, barely over 500, and you're going, oh, it's super wild card weekend. Yeah, okay, come on.
Well, I hope that you enjoy it, whatever it's called, Howard.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I'm sure I will.
Howard Take Balzer, care. You too. Howard Balzer, Sirius XM NFL radio host, Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. The national championship game was played yesterday. Kinda. Also, some people with some thoughts. They have some questions about the Houston Texans. Want to get into all of that. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about mybookie.ag yet again, because if you are looking for a place to put some money down, whether you're trying to make a profit or you're just making the most uninteresting game more interesting, the one place I tell you to keep going is mybookie.ag, because they always take care of the client. The customer is the most important thing. You want your money paid out when you win? They're going to do that. You want extra bonuses and things that go along with it? They got that too. Remember the promo code BET975 whenever you go to mybookie.ag, because if you use BET975, you get some of the exact things you're looking for. And right now, there is this bonus that is very simple. You bet your deposit amount just once, and you're ready to cash out. No strings attached with MyBookie. They are the best in the business. It is simple, and it could be on anything. NFL, UFC, NBA, or play for a share of big cash prizes in the weekly online blackjack tournaments. But what you need to do is use the promo code BET975. It's a new year, so give yourself a fresh start with mybookie.ag. The new deposit bonus is the 10% cash bonus on any first-time deposit up to $2,000. You bet it once, you play it and win, it's all yours for the taking. It's absolutely that simple. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and to win, and that's mybookie.ag. Get started today. Mybookie.ag. Use that promo code BET975 for the best deposit deal in the industry. As I always tell you, bet anything, anytime, anywhere. With the only place I tell you to do it, it's mybookie.ag, promo code 975. BET975.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Finding the right lawyer is crucial. That's why calling the Morley Law Firm should be your first choice. The experienced Morley Law Firm team can assist you with DWI, criminal issues, auto accidents, injuries, or divorce matters. They can also help with medical malpractice and immigration problems. Don't waste time calling around Houston for a lawyer. Call the Morley Law Firm, 713-839-9955. That's 713-839-9955 or MorleyLaw.com. Make the call. Morley Law. Se habla español.
Hey, guys, I know for many of you, living in pain is just what you do. You just try to play through it. It could be a knee, a shoulder, a back. You don't have to live with that chronic pain. I know that you say, I know, Lance, I go to the doctor, I'll get shots, or I'll take pain medicine, or eventually I'm going to get surgery. Well, how about the fact that your body's own healing powers are the most effective? And regenerative medicine is what QC Kinetics does. They take the body's healing power, they supercharge it, they put it back into the joints. And what begins to happen is you see restoring and regenerating processes on your damaged tissue, which helps to start to eliminate that chronic pain. You see results very, very quickly. For some people, it takes longer. For some people, it's a very short process, but they work. Look at the reviews and ask my wife, who has had four processes already on her severely damaged right knee. It is a game changer, guys. Make sure you call 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285 or go to qckinetics.com.
It's hard to miss the new eye-catching digital billboard on wheels cruising around town. That's Running Boards Marketing. Running Boards Marketing is perfect for your birthday party, graduation, or other community events. Stream movies, live events, and even play the latest video games on a giant screen. Call 713-898-7839. That's 713-898-7839. And visit rbmwesthouston.com. rbmwesthouston.com.
The play action, Bennett looks down the middle, Bukkake's wide open, touchdown Dogs!
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Georgia hammered TCU yesterday in the national championship game, 65-7, a record performance for the Georgia Bulldogs. I'm hearing a lot of hot takes coming after this game saying, well, this is the reason that you shouldn't have the college football playoff. You should have less teams in the college football playoff than what we've seen. A lot of the anti-expand the playoff crowd, this is why you have the college football playoff, so you could avoid a 65-7 thumping in the final. Because the more teams you have to expose a team who's bad, the better chance that you have a very good final. But Georgia, just the best team in college football. They proved that yesterday. Stetson Bennett, better college football player than Bryce Young, proved that yesterday, back-to-back. Why do you laugh at that?
Because of the fact that we know that you can be a better college football player.
You were intentionally trying to get under people's skin a
yes,
little
you
bit
are.
There.
Who's a better college football quarterback, Stetson Bennett or Bryce Young? I'm not saying which one's a better NFL draft prospect.
Look, Skip, I know what you tried to do here, Skip, and I'm not going to fall for
which
the,
one
I'm
is
not going to fall for the trap, Skip.
Did you detect a lie? Is there a lie
Bryce
on what
Young
I just said?
Bryce Young was a better college quarterback. He won a Heisman.
Great. He won a Heisman.
Stetson
Bennett beat him at head-to-head, I think, 2-1, right?
It's a team game,
and
Jeremy.
He won a national championship not once, but twice.
That's correct, but there's 22
Stetson
starters
Bennett
in the field.
Owns Bryce Young in the college.
Georgia. So to Jeremy's credit, though, in terms of the point he's making, he's not saying he's going to be a better NFL player.
No, absolutely not.
But I would even argue
Stetson
the point,
Stetson Bennett, you know, the Cinderella story, he's not Tim Tebow, the decorated high school kid that comes out and then does what he does in college.
Yeah.
But he can start, at least in the discussion, he's not Tim Tebow because did Tim Tebow win back-to-back Heismans?
No, he only won one.
He won two
championships, but only
and
one Heisman.
I was going to say, he had the titles.
First sophomore to win a Heisman, too, I think.
Yeah. So I think he's a little bit below Tim Tebow, but you have to give him his flowers because his story from where he came from, how he got where he got to, and then what he was able to do before he left, It is really impressive.
Yeah, it is impressive what Stetson's done. He's the best 30-year-old national champion that I've ever seen. But he's
more so than Chris Weedy.
I tweeted it last night. He's older than 5 NFL quarterbacks.
Is he really?
Yes.
I knew.
Including
I didn't know the exact number.
And Trevor Lawrence.
I think Lamar, too, maybe.
Maybe. I'll get the tweet again, but it was like, yeah, I mean, people don't realize they knew Hendon Hooker was a little older. Stetson Bennett's a little older, too.
Yeah, but congratulations to the Bulldogs. I hate this for TCU, because, I mean, everybody's going to talk about how they were embarrassed in this national championship game, and it's going to, I think, I mean...
It's going
to
tarnish a hell of a story.
It's going to tarnish what is a heck of a year. Like, yep. They should finish top 5 in the country. They had 13 wins on the year. Unbelievable season for TCU. I think a lot of times whenever somebody doesn't win a national championship, it's like, what a bad year or whatever. TCU had a wonderful year. Best year that they've ever had in program history. They got thumped by the best team in college football. I hope that TCU is not taking this loss too hard. Because, look, Georgia was the best team all year, and they proved that yesterday against the Horned Frogs of TCU.
It wasn't Lamar. He's older than Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert, Tua, Trevor Lawrence, and Mac Jones.
Yeah.
That's not your average college quarterback.
3941 says if you put Bryce Young on Georgia, he wins 2 championships, too. If you go look at Alabama's team 2 years ago, there's no reason that team should have lost. At least from an offensive perspective. Georgia's defense 2 years ago was salty too, though. Like pro after pro after pro. But Alabama offensively was unbelievable 2 years ago. They had Jamison Williams, you had Mechie, you had Brian Robinson, and then you had Bryce Young at quarterback. Like that offense was incredible. Stetson Bennett, better college quarterback than Bryce Young.
I hear what you're saying about TCU.
I'm trolling.
Like you look at it and say, Sonny Dykes, the job he did, unbelievable. This team had a losing record a year ago, and no coach in their wrong mind that takes a job says, in 1 year's time, we're going to be competing for a national title, even when they're making grandiose marketing statements to try and get people back on board to be excited about their team going forward. The fact that he was able to do what he did, the way they were able to do it, and the fact that, you know, they won in the semifinals against a team that they were the underdog to in Michigan. You wanted a better game? We all would have loved a better game, but it shouldn't diminish what they did all season long because it was a great story.
And I don't want to hear this, the college football playoff should not expand. College football has never had a true playoff. I don't care if every game in the playoff's a blowout. The point of the college football playoff isn't so that you get competitive football games. It's that you have a real playoff like every single sport that exists
like
in the world.
Like you don't exclude a team that was very deserving of taking a crack at it.
You have qualifiers. Get rid of the personal bias. Like it has nothing to do with the results of the game. Hopefully it does get better results, because you think if TCU doesn't belong on the same football field as Georgia, that over the course of a playoff, they never get to a final. So, one way to look at it. Some people, Gary got tired of us talking college football, so Gary got mad at us. 713-780-ESPN.
Which Gary?
I have no idea. I asked BMAC. He didn't know. 713-780-3776. I like all my Garys evenly.
That's not true.
Yeah, I like all my Garys evenly.
You have a preference
between
Garys.
The rational Gary and the not-so-rational Gary. I love them both equally. Jason and Champions texted something a minute ago. We were talking about Sean Payton, and we're not on the belief that you should trade a first-rounder for Sean Payton. Jason and Champion says that he is. Absolutely give up a pick for a coach. Coaching matters greatly in the NFL. Look at the Giants, Seahawks, Steelers. Who would you rather have, Kenyon Green or Sean Payton? Here, like that's misleading, saying Kenyon Green or Sean Payton. The question is, Sean Payton or number 12? And I understand what you're doing there, Jason. You're trying to say, well, the Texans had the 12th pick last year. They traded down Kenyon Green. Actually, I think it was the 13th. But I get your point. You're saying Kenyon Green or Sean Payton. I'd rather have – that's misleading on two fronts.
He's trying to paint it from an example of a pick that didn't work.
I understand where he's trying to paint it. But here's why, too, it fails on two fronts. One, it's not Sean Payton or Kenyon Green. It's Sean Payton or this year's number 12 pick.
Right.
And it's also not Sean Payton or Kenyon Green. It's Kenyon Green and whoever you hire. Actually, it's number 12 and whoever you hire as a head coach or Sean Payton. So I'll ask you the question, Jason and Champions, and anybody else that wants to weigh in, 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Would you, if you're a Sean Payton guy, I challenge you to answer this question because this is what it would cost. Would you rather have the 12th pick and then your favorite non-Sean Payton coaching candidate? For me, it's Ben Johnson. So would you rather have number 12 and Ben Johnson or Sean Payton? What would you say?
To me, I'd say Ben Johnson in a heartbeat.
B-Mac, where are you? Do you want number 12 and Benny Johnson
or
Sean Payton?
Yeah, I would take 12 and Ben Johnson.
If anyone disagrees, please call 713-780-ESPN because I think that's flat out stupid. I think it is stupid to trade the number 12 pick and whoever your other favorite coaching hire is besides Sean Payton for Sean Payton. I think it's terrible what set
the
organization back.
It's the only guy you've got to give something up to get, and it's the worst fit possible for the situation that you're currently in. And we talked about it. We heard Howard talk about his biggest argument is everybody just enamored with coordinators, and you should look at other position groups. The one he didn't mention that you and I both agreed on, Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin was a defensive backs coach. So you can find young coaches, but the key is the plan. We keep talking about the plan. So as the young roster continues to add young players and then they start to mature and develop, your coach starts to get his feet wet. He gets the experience, and it all comes to fruition at the same time, as opposed to the crotchety old, I want to win now because I'm used to winning and I didn't sign up for this kind of thing deal. Mm-hmm. Gets a guy, like you said, with Peyton, who isn't going to be enamored with the job to take it in the first place, if he would take it. And then on top of that, how long is he going to last or stick with it? Because he's been there, done that. And if it takes too long to do it again, he'll be like, you know what, guys? I'm out.
Yeah. And not only that, but people are obviously going to point to the Super Bowl he won, which, correct me if I'm wrong, was the 2009 season.
Right.
There's no guarantee that what he did in 2009 that won them a title would even work in 2023.
Now, they got
forward.
Screwed in the playoffs, true. I understand, by a call. But at the same time, and they had a lot of success with him and Drew Brees. But, right, it wasn't another Super Bowl.
Yeah, that doesn't guarantee him a title. And this obviously may be trivial and not mean anything, but there's never been an NFL head coach to win a title with a second team. That doesn't mean that Sean Payton couldn't be the first.
Right.
But I also don't think it's a guarantee that he comes here and gets them to that level.
Yep. Yep.
I just don't think he sticks it out.
John Gruden won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he did.
He won a Super Bowl. Do you want John Gruden?
No, I don't.
You can get John Gruden without a first-round draft pick.
No, because I saw, regardless of his emails, I saw John Gruden as a guy that the game had passed by offensive play calling-wise. I don't think he's that innovative, new, modern-type NFL offensive-type coach with that mentality that you need in a situation like this. The whole Mike Mayock, John Gruden experiment went wrong. It failed. And I don't think it's anything that the Texans should consider trying again.
No. And there's, absolutely not. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's talk about some of these candidates, though. I've liked what the Texans have done. Kind of putting their list together. Some of the names on it, I like them, mostly all of them. I like that they're doing it quick. I like that there's no Josh McCown or Hines Ward or some really strange name on it as well. I like the Texans, what they're doing right now. But which of these guys excites you the most? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Just mention that HRMP listener line. And HRMP, of course, short for Human Resources and Payroll. It's Cougar owned by Mike Holley. Members of the Cougar 100 going on for nearly a decade now. You've seen the HRMP signage at U of H games, whether it's for TETA, TDECU, the baseball park. You've seen their building off the Beltway. And business owners, let HRMP help you. HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, HRMP can help in any or all of those areas. There's no boxes with HRMP. Doesn't matter how small, doesn't matter how big, HRMP will completely customize a plan for what you and your business needs. You might have a little bit of a problem, a little bit of an issue, or you just want to take something off your plate. That way you can spend your time and energy back on your business. Well, HRMP will customize a plan to find a way to help so you can spend your time and energy on what you really want to spend it on. They do it in a way that's unique too. Technology meets service. They have the best tech. You'll love that, but you'll love their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll be talking to some stranger on a call board. You'll be talking to someone who knows you and your business needs. Give them a call at 281-880-6525 and let HRMP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
If the heat and humidity of South Texas has gotten the better of you and your outdoor furniture, do not, I repeat, do not throw it to the curb. Let Houston Powder Coaters remove all their previous rust and apply a unique two-part epoxy coating system that will hold up for years to come. In fact, this is one of the same protective coating systems that Houston Powder Coaters applies to its large industrial customers' equipment. And with an expansive array of colors, textures, and glosses to choose from, you are assured a top quality and elegant finish that will complement whatever look you're going for. Simply go to HoustonPowderCoaters.com to find out more.
One more thing. Almost forgot to mention that Houston Powder Coaters can also replace all the straps, slings, and plastic P caps as well, so your patio furniture will look fan-diddly-tastic. For additional information, go to HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Okay, last time, I promise. Houston Powder Coaters also offers pickup and delivery across the greater Houston area. That means Katy to Baytown, Conroe to Galveston. Pretty sweet, huh? Okay, I'm done. Remember, HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
Time to hydrate. Grab a Rambler Sparkling Water, the official sparkling water of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A Texas mineral blend available in original lemon, lime, grapefruit, and now Satsuma. Ramblers do it better. ESPN 97.5 is your home for Texas A&M Athletics. Catch all the football and basketball action right here as the Aggies make their way through the SEC. Only on ESPN 97.5. Giga Mags.
John Granato here for Chastain Ford, the Ford truck experts. If you're looking for a brand new Ford and you have been shopping and comparing dealerships, waste no more time and shop at Chastain Ford, where they value your time. The price you see online is the price you get when you arrive at Chastain Ford. There's no dealer add-on like paint, seal, fabric seal, window etching, nitrogen in the tires. Customers get to other dealers, and that price they thought was so reasonable just went up about $3,000. Chastain Ford puts its lowest price on every vehicle. You get the best price without the hassle. ChastainFord.com, Houston's best-kept secret.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We'll get into the Texans interview request list in a moment. Which excites you the most? I think it's stupid if the Texans entertain Sean Payton, number 12, because you're giving away pick number 12, and then your favorite top candidate that's not Sean Payton for Sean Payton. Which of those two sides would you rather have? Somebody asked, what about pick 33 for Sean Payton? Let's just assume. I mean, look, Sean Payton would have already said he's interested in the Texans. The Texans have been very transparent on who they've requested interviews with. If those two parties wanted anything to do with the other, we would have already heard by this. So, one, I don't think it's a realistic conversation to have, but sometimes will dabble into the fantasy, talk about things that are more hypotheticals than, like, real. How about pick 33 for Sean Payton? Would that interest you? Would that change your mind?
This roster, first of all, the coach doesn't enamor me enough more than anything else because I don't know the dedication that's left in the tank for him. He's doing TV. He's collecting a good check for that, I'm sure. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been through the gauntlet and the wars and put the extra time. We see a guy like Sean McVay who's ready to bail after a short stint as a head coach, and he won a Super Bowl too. So we know it's a taxing job. It's grueling. And I think that Sean Payton, even if he's a lifer, is not wanting a situation where he's going to have to put in even more time and extra work and then worry about the fact that it's going to take a couple years, no matter how much work he puts in, to be a competitive team again. He wants a team that's ready to win now. The Chargers were the ultimate for him. If it's not the Chargers, if the Cowboys lose to Tampa or they don't get to the NFC Championship game, there's a legit chance that that's another match made in heaven where he could return to a city he loves and has a house in Dallas and he could coach the Cowboys. If McVay does leave, he could consider the Rams as well. But those are ready to still win now situations that are much better suited for Sean Payton, and Sean Payton is better suited for them. I don't think that Sean Payton should be the coach of the Texans under any circumstances because I don't think that they're, like we talked about, they're not in a position to be worried about short term, which is what Sean Payton is, like we were talking about earlier. Yeah. They're in a position to be talking about the long haul, and that's why you need a younger guy.
I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't trade a single pick for Sean Payton.
Saying.
I wouldn't trade a seventh round pick
doesn't interest you.
I want Ben Johnson.
You and I both want Ben Johnson. It's rare that we're this adamant on the same side and have the same guy. But this is a guy that I had heard the name all year long. I had seen the stats. I had seen the offensive numbers. I knew the guys that were having career years that were very lowly regarded coming into the league. And then I looked and watched the way he called that game the other night. And I saw his innovation. And I saw the way he got the most out of his players. And I saw his gutsiness and the play calling and the ability to create plays that caught the defense on their heels they weren't expecting. And I thought, you know what? With a young team and a guy that could grow with the added talent he's going to add and the input he could give you to get the talent he needs, this is the kind of guy the Texans should get.
Yeah, that's where I stand on. you know, we're aligned. Alignment, the big word in football. 9013, would y'all be okay hiring Benny? I want to call him Benny Johnson, by the way, because I feel like we like
I heard
Johnson.
You already have kind of like gotten connected.
Yeah, we've started the campaign. Look, we were in on Benny Johnson like week eight. Like people were texting in the other day when we brought up Benny Johnson saying the only reason we know Benny Johnson is because of the Killer Bees. So and plus, I you brought up the other day that, you know, when you think of the name Ben Johnson, you think Canadian sprinter who was, you know, roided to the gills. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we should separate Ben Johnson, this Ben Johnson, from that Ben Johnson. And since the Killer Bees are
Benny, not the Jets?
Benny Johnson. Yeah. Just call him Benny, I think.
Okay.
I see what you're saying with the other thing. But Benny Johnson, our top candidate for the Texans.
Ben He King?
What?
Thanks, Stand By Me, Ben E. King.
Okay. 9013, would y'all be okay hiring Benny Johnson immediately due to availability or wait for Steichen or D'Amico to finish their playoff
run? Well, you got
to
follow the... Exactly. You got to follow the process. The Rooney Rule is in play. Obviously, for the Texans, it's really in play. But you have to follow.
It's not any more in play for the Texans than
anybody. No, but people are going to be watching.
They'll be looking at it.
You don't understand what
closely.
I'm saying. Yeah,
I do.
That's what I'm saying.
The reason that I don't like the Rooney Rule, like I like the spirit of the Rooney Rule and what it's trying to accomplish. The problem that I have with it, or the weakness of the Rooney Rule, is that when somebody hires a minority, or not doesn't hire, when somebody interviews a minority head coach, the immediate thought is, oh, well, it's a Rooney Rule. I don't like that conversation.
Right.
Those dudes should be serious candidates. They should be dudes that you're bringing in because you're thinking about hiring them, not because they're trying to comply by some rule the NFL has put into place.
Yeah, and to have the guys then answer the questions and say whether I was just, you know, checking a box for them or not, I used it to get experience in the interview process and do all those things. Shouldn't be about that. It should be, what are your philosophies offensively and defensively, and what are your, you know, what's your outlook on the communication on a daily basis with your general manager when making football decisions, and, you know, and what do you expect out of practice every day? All those kind of, those are the kind of questions that they should be having to answer, not whether they felt like it was just a formality and I was just being brought in to check the box.
See, I wasn't even looking at it from an individual point of view. Like, I'm looking at it whenever Hines Ward interviewed for the job last year. It's like, okay, well, that crosses one of the two boxes of the Rooney Rule, which is, like, unacceptable. Like, that shouldn't be a conversation that comes up when a quality candidate is interviewing for a job. But 713-780-ESPN, what are you looking for in a head coach? Here's the candidate list as of now. I want to go item by item here, too. Talk about these guys. Shane Steichen, Eagles OC. Jonathan Gannon, Eagles DC. D'Amico Ryans, Niners DC. Ben Johnson, Lions OC. Broncos DC. Ajiro Averro. Read up a little bit on him today. Watched a video of him earlier today as well. I think that we can not look at Ben Johnson because we're locked in on Benny Johnson. Shane Steichen's an interesting candidate to me because it looks like they're going to conduct interviews with both Eagles coordinators. Steichen's interesting, but one of the things I always talk about when it comes to coaching, in hiring coaching, is that I want somebody who comes from a successful whatever side of the ball that they're coaching that is responsible for that team's success in that area. When you look at Benny Johnson in Detroit,
he's called
first year OC, they went from a bottom 10 offense to a top 10 offense and really didn't have like significant additions to that roster.
Well,
they drafted Jamison Williams. We didn't play all year.
No, but I take it a step further and say, and is he calling the plays?
Right.
Because it's one thing to have the coordinator title, but you saw what happened in Denver, and part of what happened in Denver with Nathaniel Hackett was he was the OC, but he didn't call any of the plays. We all know that Rodgers makes the final decision, but LaFleur was the guy that was calling every offensive play along with Rodgers, and they were executing it. So you had the OC title, but you didn't have any of the capabilities and have the play-by-play each play after play after play responsibility.
I think that that's part of it, but a big part of it, like Steichen does call plays in Philadelphia. Sirianni gave it away last year. But how much of game planning for an opponent is Steichen? How much of that is Sirianni? Like, Sirianni's an offensive mind. Like, he's not, Shane Steichen isn't the only offensive mind in that room. I don't know how much of the Eagles' offensive success is more Sirianni game planning, watching the other teams and scout, and formulating a game plan heading into that week, and then Steichen calls the plays when it comes to game day. So Steichen, my concern for Steichen is that Sirianni's there, Sirianni's the offensive mind, unoffensive mind. How much of Steichen is really instrumental in what the Eagles are doing on the offensive side? That's my concern there. I wouldn't be mad if they hired Shane Steichen, but that's my concern there. And Lance was talking this morning. I was listening as I tried to go get my truck fixed about the who GMs hire and who owners hire, they're going to have to blow you away in the interview process, right? Which I completely agree with. Like, we're sitting here talking about Steichen and Gannon, Ryans, Benny Johnson, Avero. And who Caserio and Cal McNair, and if there's a circle of trust, whoever they hire is going to have to blow them away in the interview process. The problem between, like, talking about that, though, is you can't, because we're not privy to those conversations. We don't know how they're interviewing. Ultimately, is Lance right that whoever they hire is going to be the one that interviewed the best? Absolutely. But all we have to go on is what we see of these guys in their previous
stops, not
the interview.
What Campbell did in the Lions interview?
Uh-uh.
They mentioned it Sunday night. Like, and I'm shocked that it worked the way it did with Mrs. Ford being in on the Zoom chat. It was a Zoom chat. And, you know, most of these guys are interviewing at multiple places, so they're not going to tip their hand either when they're doing it. So it's hard for them to completely blow you away, right? Campbell looked right into the Zoom chat screen and just point blank, like with a real intense, like screaming type look on his face, said, "I want this effing job." And he was like, they were just like, they were ready to run through a wall. They loved that. That's what you're talking about from like from a substantial situation of giving you more substance about like the things I was talking about, like philosophy and plays and offense and all those kind of things. But yeah, you've got to be able to make a really, really impactful statement in a short period of time when you're meeting with a team, or you got no shot.
Yeah, and that also depends on the personalities too, right? Like if he did that with Cal McNair, he's probably not getting called back. So it's different strokes for different folks.
That guy used potty mouth, and for that reason alone, I will not accept another conversation.
Yeah. So, I mean, it depends on who you're interviewing with. You got to be able to read the room. And ultimately, yeah, whoever interviews the best is going to get the job. But what are we going to talk about? Oh, yeah, Gannon walked in and blew him away with a PowerPoint presentation. Like, unless Cal McNair and Caserio are being really transparent, then we're not going to be privy to that. So you have to look based on what you know. We mentioned Steichen there. Gannon, Ryans, Ben Johnson, Avero, Steichen, of course, the guys that the Texans have requested interviews with. How do you feel about the list? Who's the top one from those five? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Sports talk in Houston is terrible, except for ESPN 97.5. Never listen to any other station. ESPN 97.5 is not terrible, and that's why I love these guys. Knuckleheads.
See website for details. Millsap is not a lender and does not make credit decisions. Must be 18 years old. Not available in all states.
Honey, the credit card bill came and we're maxed out.
Great. Maxed out cards, rent is due, bills are piling up. We just need some extra cash to help us get by for a few weeks.
We should do what my brother did. He went to billshappen.com and got $3,000 the next day.
With our bad credit, I don't think so.
BillsHappen.com is different. They are one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with all credit types get up to $5,000.
I'm sure there's a lot of paperwork.
Nope, my brother said it was easy. He did it right from his phone.
If you have a regular source of income, you can be approved for a loan for up to $5,000 in minutes, and your cash can hit your bank account the next day. BillsHappen.com's lenders have millions of dollars to lend, regardless of your credit history.
Great news! I went to BillsHappen.com, and we will have our money as soon as tomorrow.
Wow, that is fast.
If you need extra cash, go to BillsHappen.com. That's BillsHappen.com. BillsHappen.com.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy like, 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-845-8122. 800-845-8122. 800-845-8122.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-649-0142. 800-649-0142. 800-649-0142. That's 800-649-0142.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Blankers, I like how the Texans have handled this coaching process. Firing Lovie, being decisive in that, saying that they need new blood. They're quickly out with a candidate list. Like this time last year, they were still deciding about David Culley.
I agree.
I think it was Black Friday for David Culley, right? Like I think they took the whole week.
They took like 4 or 5 days.
Yeah. Yeah, it took a while. So I like that they were decisive. Like, they already have a candidate list, and it's a candidate list that I think a lot of people are pleased with. Steichen, little concern there that he's not the most brilliant offensive mind with Philadelphia. I probably give Sirianni the edge there, even though Steichen's calling the plays. I'll be honest with you, Jonathan Gannon, the reason I don't want Jonathan Gannon is because Greg Frank, who's over on the network at SportsMap, is a Philadelphia Eagle fan, and he's begging us to hire Jonathan Gannon so he's no longer the defensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles. If you have Eagle fans that are begging you to hire their DC as your head coach so Gannon can get out of the city of brotherly love, I want no part of that guy. I'll be completely honest.
And again, it's kind of like if there's a knock on D'Amico Ryans, it's the fact that any defensive coordinator could succeed with the amount of talent that he has on the defensive side of the football in San Francisco with Bosa and all the different guys that they have. Like, I still think that, you know, he's going to be a really good NFL coach. But, I mean, I think that's the same kind of argument. Like, Gannon's got a ton of resources. He's got, you know, with the amount of money they spent on defense and the corners with Slay and they went out and got Johnson from the Saints this year and Fletcher Cox and all the different guys that they have. Like, money's no object. And so that's part of the reason why they've been a really good defensive football team. Are you giving him that much to say that that translates to being a good head football coach?
Right. 713-780-ESP and a couple of the other guys. We talked about D'Amico yesterday. Look, if they hired D'Amico Ryans, I would be pleased with that. I need a really good offensive mind. Maybe it's Gary Kubiak. That is the caveat with D'Amico. Secondly, I don't think D'Amico's going to want this job. I think that there's better offers out there for D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans pulled his name out of the hat for a couple jobs last year. Like, he's not desperate, hungry, thirsty. I shouldn't say hunger, but he's not desperate and thirsty for a head coaching job. He's smart enough to wait for the right one, which I think is brilliant. And he has the resources, because he played professionally, to be able to do that. I don't think D'Amico is going to view the Texans job as the right one.
But this is also similar but different, but this is like Bieniemy. When you're in a great situation, when you know, like in his case, he's got a loaded defense on a team that's very successful, has a chance to go to the Super Bowl this year, that you know that you don't have to take any job. And it's a conversation that you and I had yesterday where I said, look, one of the things that guys think about when they're taking their first head coaching job is, you don't want to think this might also be my last, but you also want to be extra particular in saying, is this the right fit for me? Because if it's not, and we lose a lot of games, it might hinder me the next time I want another chance at a head coaching job. So if you're in a situation like you said, you have the means, you have the resources because of your previous experience in the NFL and playing and otherwise, and you're also in a good situation currently as a coordinator with a lot of talent that makes you look really good, then you don't have to be in a hurry. You can be a little bit more picky in terms of deciding who you interview with and who you want to work for.
Ajiro Aviro. Move the needle for you?
That's the guy you said you looked at tape and film and
I mean, he's an impressive guy, but if you're going defense, I want D'Amico. Like, if you're going to go with a defensive-minded guy, and I don't want to go defensive-minded guy. I want our guy, Benny Johnson. But if you're going to go defensive-minded guy, Aviro would be... I was going to say third.
He had a lot of talent on his defense,
D'Amico
too.
Would be first, but is it Aviro or is it Gannon, like second defensive guy that you would want as the head coach? To me, that's a wash. I really don't want Gannon.
I don't want a defensive coach either. I've said I want an innovative, up-and-coming head coach.
I'm challenging you to name defense. Like
coordinator.
If you went three defensive guys, let's just say Cal McNair tells you, Blankers, you have to hire a defensive-minded guy. It has to come from this list. Jonathan Gannon, D'Amico Ryans, Ajiro Aviro.
D'Amico's number one, for sure.
I think for me, it's D'Amico one, Aviro two, Gannon three.
Gannon three. I would agree with that because, the other thing that I would say on top of everything else that you mentioned about Greg Frank and the Eagles and fans wanting to get rid of him too is the fact that why you didn't pick him a year ago, and you interviewed with him twice. And
well, people think it's because Cal made him.
I understand, but was but in terms of just you knew all you needed to know back then, and for whatever reason, even before, I don't think they were leaning towards hiring him when they were naming finalists and they were thinking about who they actually really wanted to go with. So if you already knew that then, I don't think anything's changed that much to now where...
Well, unless he was like the slam dunk guy last year and then Cal said that you can't hire him.
Would you believe that?
Do I believe that
Gannon, he was the slam dunk guy a year ago?
I don't think it was slam dunk. I think Gannon would have been the hire. And I know what John McClain reported, that it was going to be McCown. I think it was going to be Gannon.
Really?
Then
there's a lot of hope that he could be...
I think Gannon was Casario's guy. I think McCown was Jack Easterby's guy, and I think ultimately Lovey was Cal's guy. So I think all three of the triad of Houston Texans dudes making decisions a year ago, I think they all had different guys. I think Casario wanted Gannon, Easterby wanted McCown, and Cal wanted Lovey. And ultimately, Cal hired Lovey. Maybe he was going to believe Easterby over Casario. We don't know. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out there now for Rick. Rick, you're in the hive. Slick Rick, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Slick Rick?
Rick, let's go. Okay.
Rick. Put Rick on hold for a second. Maybe he had to step aside. We'll get back to Rick in a second, Slick Rick. Maybe he's being slick right now. We'll get to him in a moment if he comes back. 7612, Frank Reich, is that a no or a possibility? One bad season with no QB in any of them. Absolutely not for a head coach. I hesitate to even want him as an offensive.
I agree.
As the OC. There's been some thought that Jonathan Gannon would have Frank Reich on his staff as the offensive coordinator. I don't know if I love Frank Reich as an offensive mind, as an offensive coordinator. People would immediately point to the Philadelphia Eagles, when he got out of Foles, when he got out of Carson Wentz. I can't put Frank Reich as the offensive brilliance on the Philadelphia Eagles. I have to put that with Doug Peterson.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that, not that the game has passed him by or he's been too far out of touch with it or anything like that. I just don't think he's the same type of innovative guy coming off the Eagles Super Bowl and Nick Foles and all the things they were able to do in the Philly special and all of that kind of positive juju that he brought with him. I think that there's a lot of negatives with what happened in Indianapolis. There's a lot of question marks. And I think just from an offensive play calling standpoint and where the NFL is today, I don't think, again, Frank Reich's the type of fit for this situation right now with this young of a roster that they're trying to build.
Peterson was calling plays.
Right.
Like Peterson was calling plays in Philadelphia. I think that Peterson was the brilliance behind that Philadelphia offense. Now, Frank Reich, I think, was calling plays for a while, whenever he was at Indy. I don't know if he ever gave them up to Sirianni or not, but Frank was calling the plays at Indy. I'm not interested in Frank Reich as a head coach at all. And honestly, like, if they hired him as the OC under Jonathan Gannon, I wouldn't be that excited.
I wouldn't either.
I'm not really moved by the idea of Frank Reich. Plus, it's like the Jeff Hornacek assistant coach with the Rockets. Like, I don't want Hornacek with the Rockets. Like, whenever he was an assistant coach here because you hated him as a player for so long, good, healthy sports hate. I don't want the dude that led the most embarrassing moment in Houston Oiler football history, one of the most embarrassing moments in this city's football history, back calling plays in this city. Like, I feel like that's bad mojo. I want nothing to do with Frank Reich.
I agree with that, too, and I think that, look, it does matter. I think at this point with where this franchise currently is, it is, as much as it is about football, and it is the main focus, there are other elements that have to be considered too, and not that you have to be, you know, super splashy and sexy, but you do have to have some kind of move that moves the needle in a positive way and gets people a little bit excited. Sure, you're going to have draft picks that are going to excite the fan base, but if you get a head coach, like we mentioned with Harbaugh, you know, whether you love him, you hate him, you think he's done the job in the past or not, at least Harbaugh comes with him a name and a cachet of people that know enough about him to say, oh, they got a real football guy this time that seems to be a guy that could get fiery but also do some good things. So there's a possibility there. I think that you take a Ben Johnson and say, look, in 1 year's time, he took a hellhole situation in Detroit and all the different, you know, swings and misses that the franchise has done over the years, and in 1 year's time, made him an offense that to be reckoned with, that people had to take notice of, that made guys that were really literally nobodies coming into the league and made them somebody. And even made Jared Goff look like a quarterback again. So there's a reason to be excited about Ben Johnson. So that's a name when you say, well, now I can pair him with a young quarterback coming out of college. Maybe you get a receiver too and go, okay, I can get on board with this. I'm excited for the possibilities of what the Texans can do in the future, and I want to see what they can do next year. I don't think Frank Reich does that.
No, I think there's, like, you can have more than one dude who you would be, like, you. There's obviously going to be a name at the very top that you want more than anybody else, and Benny Johnson is that guy for us. But there are other names that I would be excited about, and on this list, the list of five dudes that the Texans have requested interviews for, Shane Steichen, mediocre, mid. Jonathan Gannon, I would actually lean no. Like, if they hired Jonathan Gannon, I would not be excited. If they hired Shane Steichen, I really wouldn't be that excited. D'Amico Ryans would excite me. Yeah. Benny Johnson would excite me the most. Ajiro Averro. Middle.
Nah.
Middle. Like, he's not that buzzworthy.
I also got to believe they're not done. I got to believe there's other names they're going to add to this
list. Well,
they
need at least one more.
Well, why?
Because, one, if D'Amico Ryans accepts the interview,
yep.
That's one minority head coach.
I thought you just have one. Well, you have to have two.
You have two.
You have the guy in Denver.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you're good.
Yeah. That's if they accept it.
True.
That's if they accept
the interviews. Well, the rumor is D'Amico might not.
Right. That's what Aaron Wilson reported. So if Aaron Wilson reported that D'Amico is not interested in the job.
They would like to talk to Harbaugh. I would think that there are other names. Like,
I don't think that they want anything to do with Harbaugh.
You don't?
I don't.
Why? Too dominant of a personality?
I think that he's so thirsty to be back. Like, he's letting, like, did you see the report the other day where he was the one that initiated the conversation with Dave Tepper?
No.
Yeah. Like, his people called Dave Tepper, and Dave Tepper said, like, it really wasn't even anything. He was like, they called to, like, gauge interest. Mm. Like, that's not really a conversation. Harbaugh's got a really good resume. There's a lot of quirkiness to Harbaugh that I just don't love.
There has to be a reason why he constantly is changing situations or wants to bail. Like, he has
I think you just nailed it. I think he seems to be a guy that has to have it 100% his way. And if the team's not willing to do that for him, and I don't see the Texans as being in a camp that would do that, then it's not going to be a fit. They're going to wear on each other till they have a ugly divorce.
See, I think that from the standpoint of why is he bailing on a situation where Michigan's been as good as they've been in a long period of time?
To get violations. He lied to the NCAA.
And even before we knew that, you're like, okay, I think he also realized, hey, beating Ohio State is one thing, but trying to win a natty is another. And then with NIL and all the constant pressures that are on college coaches these days, maybe this wasn't what he signed up for either. And maybe he knows how cushy it can be when you're in the NFL and you don't have to worry about when there's a dead period and when I can talk to kids and what I need to do to build my roster. I just open up my checkbook or the draft board, and I get what I need.
Yeah, somebody on the text line said Mike Kafka, who's currently the Giants OC, which it'd be all right. But again, if I'm looking at New York and I'm looking at who's the offensive mind there, yeah, it's Daboll. And then same thing with Kansas City. Like, it was Andy Reid. So I would hesitate on Kafka, and then somebody else pointing out Cliff Kingsbury. That ain't happening. Cliff was pretty lucky to get the Arizona job.
I don't want Cliff as a head coach. If Cliff would be willing to be an OC, Cliff would be a great OC in terms of innovation and knowing the NFL in today's day and age.
I stumbled on some Cliff quotes yesterday, too, because we were entertaining the idea, would he go back to the college game? He hates college football. He hates the recruiting aspect of it. He said he would literally do any other job than be a college football coach.
So I think
he's an NFL guy. How about Cliff as the OC for New England?
Bill O'Brien's going back to New England.
Man, he might go to Tennessee. I think Bill O'Brien's probably the favorite,
yeah.
But Cliff was under O'Brien under Belichick as a player.
That's true. But he also knows how hellacious that can be during the season. The payoff is at the end of the year, you win a lot, but player after player that has been through a New England season goes, it's a different kind of dude that can take the kind of grueling season it is under Belichick.
You're Bill Belichick. Cliff or Bill O'Brien?
Oh, it should be Cliff.
There you go. 713-780-ESPN. Cash it or trash it. What are the overreactions? What are the hot takes from over the weekend that were cashing or trashing? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys.
This is ESPN 97.5.